Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. An American Indian tells the story about a young brave who came across this egg. It was an eagle's egg, misplaced somehow on the ground. And so he took the egg and he put it in the nest of a prairie chicken. And eventually this little eagle egg was hatched, and a little eagle came out and grew up amongst the prairie chickens and did what the prairie chickens did. It would scratch at the ground for insects and look for food, and it would fly very short distances and flapping their wings wildly and got very little off the ground. And it spent its life thinking it was a prairie chicken. Years passed and it got older, and one day it looked up and saw this magnificent bird flying in the air, barely flapping its wings and soaring on the wind currents that was there. And he looked, he said to his neighbor, "What is that?" And the neighbor said, "That's the eagle, the grandest of all birds." He goes, "Wow." He said, "But don't even think about it. You will never be a bird like that." And it went on thinking that it was a prairie chicken. You see, Christians can be like that as well. They can not understand why they were created, who created them, and what their purpose is. And they can spend their lives just on the ground thinking that they're a prairie chicken when God really created them to be an eagle and to soar. Our bodies are composed of many members. It's the same with the body of Christ, the church. And each member has its purpose in our body, our hands, our feet. And sometimes they don't work the way we want them to, but they're still there. And the body of Christ is the same way too. We're very unique and we're an eclectic group of people that God has brought together to function in a unique way. Every Christian is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Many of the most important members of our physical bodies are not seen and valued, but it's the same way with the church as well. Many can go unseen. Today we're going to continue the passage where Paul speaks of our needing a right focus on the spiritual gifts. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for this morning and thank you for the opportunity to gather here. And Father, as we look into your word, may you illuminate the truth that is there for us. Truth that is not only to help us stand, but to cause us to grow. To grow in conformity to the image of your Son, who loved you and followed you with all of his heart, all of his being. And Father, we desire to be there as well. So make this a special time between us and you as you teach us through your word, as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And if you didn't bring a Bible with you, there are chair Bibles in the seats in front of you. You can turn to the latter half of the book to page 136 in the New Testament. We started this chapter a few weeks ago, then we got into some holidays, and we did part one. It's always hard to do part one and have like maybe 2 or 3 weeks with special messages and to get back to part two. But Paul was talking about the gifts of the Spirit and how it is the Spirit that provides to each one of us gifts that are given to us to be used within the body of Christ. And they're unique and they're different and they may not always be known to us, and so we have to discover them. But God works all things together in us, together in unity for one purpose, to give him glory and to use the body of Christ as an entity to make a difference in the world. And he says in verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." And picking up in verse 12, "For even as the body is one and yet many has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. Jesus is not here in a physical body, but still he wants to work, and so he works through us, the church. A plan that he had before we were born. Sometimes read Psalm 139, one of my favorite Psalms of David, and it speaks about before we were even conceived, he knit us in the womb of our mother. But here in verse 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The Spirit brings unity within diversity. There's an extra word there in your outline. Just cross it out, because I was thinking of wording it one way, and I missed that word, so whatever it is. But the Spirit brings unity within diversity. There can be unity even though there is great diversity in the church. There needs to be unity because there is great diversity in the church. You know, I don't want to be a white church. I don't want to be a black church. I don't want to be an Asian church. I just want to be the church. And the church, as we see it in Scripture, was diverse. Jews and Greeks, slaves and freemen. It was a unique group that we need to see beyond what our borders are and not be defined by anything other than being Christians. A normal physical body should have unity. So should the body of Christ. If I hurt my thumb, my whole body feels it. Prayerfully, my neighbors don't hear it. I'm pretty good about that. But when I do, and you know that, when you smash your thumb, everything in your body aches. I had an occasion a couple years ago to get a pinched nerve in my neck, and I didn't realize I went on vacation, and as we were driving up north on vacation, just it started going through my body to where my hand got numb and started swelling, and for a week it was miserable because you couldn't find any comfort. When something happens in one part of your body, in this case the neck, the rest of the body can feel it as well. When something happens in the body of Christ, the whole body feels it as well, which is why we need to care for each other. This happens because of the unity in the body, and the Christian who can't see or feel beyond what they're involved in has not even started to understand the unity of the congregation. We are not called to just come to a Sunday morning or a Sunday night and leave and think the rest of the week is for ourselves. We're all still continually united in the Spirit of Christ. The body functions because its parts do different things. And thank heavens that it does. But what a disaster it would be if all the members did the same thing. Some people do that with dancing. They have two left feet when you should have a left foot and a right foot. But we are different, and God wants to use each and every one of us. And he can, and he does. No matter what our ethnic background, social status, or education, we are of the same spirit when it comes to Christ. And God can use each one of us uniquely together to do something very, very special. Paul, in his next segment, this lengthy segment, helps us understand the Spirit through right relationships. There should be right relationships among Christians in the church. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the sense of smell? We need each other, basically, is what Paul's saying. Just as the body functions at an optimal level when it's all working together in the right way. I did the musical George M. some years ago, actually about 22 years ago, up at Lake Tahoe. And about two nights before this run was closing at one of the theaters up there, they had an attraction where you got into like this little container and you saw this screen, and it was like flying in a jet airplane, you know, and it would do bank and stuff and go up and it'd turn around, and you kind of got the sensation of it. And it was between the shows, the two later shows that one night. And in the opening number with the, by the way, I played Papa Cohan, not young George M., for obvious reasons. And during the opening dance number of the family, I did this move and I felt a little hinge, a little something in my back go. And I knew I knocked it out of place. And I when the number got over, went up off stage and tried to roll around to get it knocked back in place, because I had gone into something that my body wasn't going to go very willingly for and not happy. I caused something to my body. The next day I couldn't walk. I had all my members, but I couldn't get out of bed, and I fell down and I crawled to the wall. And some of you know what you've gone through that, and it's debilitating. It's almost scary because you wonder if you're going to get your body back. My body was not functioning normally because I did something to it. Sometimes the body of Christ doesn't function normally because something happens to it. And we have to address that, and we have to be aware of that. Verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. I two things. I love when people come to grace, but I'm not devastated when people leave. Because I have to have a greater thought that God is the one directing people. I cannot depend upon myself that either I'm going to, you know, cause a mistake or cause to trust God. What my responsibility is as the pastor is simply be faithful and make sure that I'm not doing things that would cause a disruption in the body. But it's God that's in control, and he brings them together just as he desired. Paul says, if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. There are many people here, but one body. This body extends into 6:30 at night, when there's a very eclectic group of people that come on Sunday evening. Sometimes come, you know, we'll put a plexiglass up just so you can observe. They're a really fun group of people that we have. Uniquely different, but you know what? Still one body. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. And again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Paul also points out that we must respect one another. In verse 22, on the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. You know, this is a theme that goes throughout the New Testament, to consider others greater than yourselves. Not greater in the sense that you are nothing, but greater in the sense that God has a unique connection with all of us, and that we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly than we ought. It talks about the parable that when you go into a banquet, go to the lowly seat in the back so that you may be brought to the place of honor. Rather than going to the place of honor and said, oh, you know, your place is in the back of the plane, not up in first class. We need to have that attitude with others, to look out for the stranger so they won't be a stranger amongst us. To make people feel welcome, to go out of our way. You know, which is why we say, I should say, you know, how long have you been coming to Grace, rather than is this your first time? Because they may have been at the evening service for months, you know, and to them, you're a new person. You know, trying to connect with people by asking open questions. We are to understand that we are one body, and that should cause us to encourage each other as well. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Since it is the Holy Spirit that gifts each one, dispensing as he sees fit, we need to accept and appreciate the Spirit brings order in the church. That's his job. By gifting us, it is for a purpose, to weave it all together for a perfect plan. The foundation for proper unity and right relationships in the church is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, we are given that gift. That is our sealing that we are given by God to say that we are his. And I do not believe that seal can be broken. I don't believe that seal can be changed. I don't believe that we even have the right to take it off ourselves. It is God. I believe we can lose rewards. I believe we can grieve the Holy Spirit. But once we're his, I believe the word says that we are his. He puts us into one body. In Acts chapter 2:38 of the day of Pentecost, Peter, when addressing the massive crowd there, said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself is a gift from God, given to us, to teach us, to remind us, to be that within us that helps us to follow God and to remind us of the things that we've been taught and then to follow through. We don't always listen. We don't always follow through. But he is there urging us in the ways of God nonetheless. He cannot be forced. He comes through faith in Jesus Christ. I know that there are those that who I love who believe that, you know, that you're not saved until you're baptized. And that's why the baptism is so important. But yet Scripture doesn't, I would say, fully back that. And I look at the house of Cornelius. When Peter went there and preached the word of God, they began speaking in tongues, which was evidence of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But they had not been baptized yet by water. But they were baptized by the Holy Spirit. When you receive the truth of Jesus Christ in your heart, we are given that gift. When you receive the Holy Spirit, or we are to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, that is literally saying, be baptized because your sins have been forgiven. If I tell you to take 2 aspirin for a headache, I'm not telling you to take it so you'll get a headache. It's because you have a headache, right? It's the same thought. When we receive Christ in our hearts, we are to be baptized because that's commanded by Christ in Matthew chapter 28. Galatians 3:26-27, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. It's a word picture that when we come to Christ, we take off the old self, those things that we have, and we put on Christ. It's like putting on the robe of righteousness. We put that on so that we are there. We don't put it on as we walk from the parking lot in through the doors so that we can assemble here and then take it off as we leave through the parking lot. It is to be with us at all times so that we are reminded who we belong to. And I'll tell you, the enemy will try to trip you up as much as possible. And like James, I'm not perfect. And at times I can get tripped up and it bothers me. But yet it just reminds me of my frailty as well, and it drives me closer to Christ rather than the enemy's desires to drive me away from the closeness to Christ that I desire. The Spirit gives gifts to the members of the body. We have shared this verse a lot, so this should be underlined and highlighted in your Bible by now. But 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, the wonderful multicolored grace of God. But not if, not when you receive, but has already taken place. As each one has received a special gift. And when he talks about employing, it means using it within the body of Christ. It's not a gift to take out into the world that, you know, and God may gift you in that way in certain ways, as an evangelist maybe, but we're gifted to work within the body so that we can do what God's called us to do eclectically with all of our different gifting to work in harmony and to work in the way that he has. That's order. And when we just come to church and we leave thinking we've done our duty, we're missing out. We are missing out. The body is missing out on those things that God would have for us. And we have to be careful, though, not to elevate some higher and then, well, I'm a lowly eye. You know, what can you see through me? Okay, no one got that. That's right, didn't I? It just came to me in a moment of ADD. But anyway, we have to understand that even the Bible says, even a cold cup of water given in my name, surely that person won't lose the reward. We don't need to elevate greater and lesser. We just need to be faithful in what God has gifted us and to follow through and use that for the body. So what can we take away from today? What can we put into action? Because we should be doers of the word, not hearers of the word, right? So something that we hear, some nugget that we dig out, should put us into action. First off, I want to suggest to you this. We need to see the bigger picture. See the big picture for what it is. There is a big picture. Sometimes we can just get caught up myopically in our lives, and we see the small picture. We see this one thing that is just grabbing all of our attention and our focus and our energy, and it's almost exhausting. But there's a bigger picture that's there as well. One that involves the body of Christ, one that involves us as individuals, one that involves us connecting with the lost so that they wouldn't be lost anymore. We have been united in one body by the work of the Holy Spirit as a result of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. The fact that we're here proves that. Otherwise, why would we be here? We are important to God, to the church, and to each other. And God wants to use us in special and unique ways. Unfortunately, we tend to make what goes on around us all about us rather than about God. Life is hard. Life is changing. Life has great joys. But ultimately, life is temporary. Life on this earth, that is. But the desire for all of us should be what is spoken of in one of the parables of Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. If God has called you to suffer, suffer well for Christ. If he's called you to speak well of him. If he's called you to go to far places, then go. Be attentive to that. See the bigger picture rather than just what's confronting you today. And when you're confronted with the challenges of life, grab a hold of Scripture and then cling to it. One that I have shared a lot and pondered myself time and time again is Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I love the word all things. Even the challenging things in our life can be used by God to grow us, to mature us, to purify us. Sometimes those things happen in our lives so that we can go through something so that God can use us to come alongside somebody else. We have to understand that word all includes us. And so with all that comes our way, we need to continually bring it before God. If God is causing something good in our life that's challenging, then it makes sense for us then to seek him as far as to give clarity what it is then. God, help me to see the good in this. Don't say, God, where is the good in this? I don't see any good in this. I bought a trailer. I put that on the prayer chain as a praise. I've been looking for months and months, and Tom has looked out, and Clarence has looked out for me, and I keep thinking, I want a trailer that's like free, you know, and has a mesh gate that you can put ride your lawnmower up then and stuff, but free, you know. Doesn't happen that way. But I was driving by, I was coming to church on Friday, and passed by a garage sale in Genesee, and out of the corner of my eye, I caught a trailer, you know, and I thought, oh, God. I felt that urge to go back. That might have just been my earthly, you know, fleshly thing, but I went back anyway, and I pulled in this driveway, and I stood there like a little boy, you know, a hat in hand, like, is that for sale? No, not for sale. Ah, I've been looking for one. And they said, but you know, and the young man goes, Mom, don't get too excited. He said, there is one in the back, but it needs some work. And so we walked back this long way to this field, and they had this trailer. I thought, ooh, all I could see was possibility and what it could look like. And I said, how much do you want for it? He said, $75. I can do $75. And so I committed to buy this trailer, and I had to go back. I said, I'll be back the next day, and I'll come do it. And I filled my compressor full of air because the tires were flat. And I brought it back the next day with Luann's Jeep because she's the only one with a tow bar on it, and thinking, oh, I'm just going to bring this home. We're going to sand it all up. We're going to paint it, put sides on, floors on. Might even live in it for a while. I don't know. And I got back there and I looked at the tires and like, it's like half flat, you know, and I'm seeing cracks and stuff, and I'm going, these will never inflate with the air at any time before Jesus comes back. But it didn't dissuade my encouragement that, because I'm seeing the bigger picture that this is going to be a need. It's going to be challenging along the way. But I'm not disappointed that it's going to take some involvement with me to make a difference. I am desperately looking for used tires right now for two sides. But see, we have to see the bigger picture in our lives too. Because life isn't always easy. It doesn't always fall in place. And God never says it's going to be easy, but he does say, I will see you through it. And then we're going to do something great with it. But you know what? He's doing something great as we go through it as well. He's growing us. He's building us in character. Don't think that Christ had it easy. We know he didn't. And we are to be like Christ. Remember in Romans 8:28, whatever it is that you're facing, God is still in control. And I think when we lose that picture, it discourages us. And Satan wants us to forget that. I know that there are hard times. I know there are times when we are down. But when you have those times, look up and give it to God, trusting in his word. The bigger picture may be that it may last a long time or a short time. But no matter, God is still there with us. Secondly, understand your gifts play a part in the whole. God's gifted you. That's his word. That's his truth. What is the gift that he's given to you? And his word doesn't lie, so we all have it. Then the question is, how are you utilizing it in the body of Christ? Have you stepped out to do that? Are you waiting for someone maybe to ask you? You know, there's a give and take. Extroverts, introverts. I'm an extrovert. I get involved right away. My wife's an introvert. You know, she's just inside pleading, someone please talk to me. I talk to trees. We're different people in how we are. I know some of the introverts back there as well. I know she's been talking to the soundboard and stuff. What's that? Go ahead.
She has problems with arborvitis.
Arborvitis?
I thought you were going to say arborvitis.
What is that? I don't even know what arborvitis is. I never even heard that word. Is it a joke? Is something in my shoulder, something behind me?
It's a green shrub.
Oh. Okay, so it's a landscaping joke. Got it. I know color green. That's about it. No, you're fine. Mary Faith, I love you. You speak up any time. Helps keep me awake. The problem may be that you don't know what you're gifted in. We can fix that. We can find out. There are ways that people develop to show what God has already placed within you. But don't wait till someone discovers your giftedness. step up, step in. You are needed. And the truth is, we can't fully function as a church unless we're all working together. Lastly, cultivate who you are and grow. You know, don't wait for somebody to grow you. Involve yourself in your own growth. You do that through prayer. You do that through meditating on God's word. Find even like a devotional. My utmost for his highest. There are other kinds that you can find. Chicken soup has many devotionals you can do. Find something that's going to cause you to meditate on God and think. You grow when you fellowship. You grow when you obey his clear commands. We know when God says, don't do something, don't do it. The enemy is there to tell the opposite. We need to grow. And I tell you, people, if you're walking with Christ, if you're spending time with Christ, you have no choice but to grow and to change. And if you say, you know, I'm the same person I was 5 years ago. No, you're not. Or at least you better not be. Because we're never called to be stagnant. We're called to wait. Look at the disciples. They were not the same fishermen at the end as they were in the beginning with ministry. And they weren't the same after Pentecost. And they weren't the same at the end when they gave their lives for Christ. They constantly grew. They constantly changed towards Christ's likeness. I was faced with a situation when I felt that God was calling me into music ministry. I resisted it for a long time. And when the first vote fell short of my being put into ministry in this church in Reno, one of the concerns was that I didn't have a 4-year degree. Had a 20-year career in ministry, had a great experience, but that wasn't important to some as a formal education that showed that I tried to advance myself. And so in my 40s, I made the choice to go back to college and flew once a month up to Salem, Oregon for 2 years to get my bachelor's degree. And once that happened, my senior pastor encouraged me on to seminary. So we discovered a seminary in Michigan and came back here and 2 more years of graduate study. And then God did the most interesting thing. He placed me in my weakness, not my strength, by putting me in the pulpit. And he's been laughing ever since. My love was music. You know, and I thought I was doing all of this education and seminary to do worship music better. But God had a different plan. And I had to listen to that. I could have fought through for my own plan, but that wouldn't have been as rewarding or as challenging or as exciting, maybe, as the adventure that we've been on. I think he put me in this position because he knew that I needed to be dependent upon him. And I still am after 16 years. Ask yourself, are you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the power that it holds. And Father, we don't say those as rote words. They're true words. And we thank you that you give us your word that we might grow daily in conformity to the image of your Son. Father, I just pray for these people today. As hearers of the word, may they now be doers of the word and make a difference in their homes, in their communities, in their workplaces, wherever you put them, Father, may your influence be upon them. And may they grow in the giftedness that you've given them and to share that giftedness within the body that we may grow and be the church that you've called us to be. Help us today. This day and days going forward, Father, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, the gifting of the Holy Spirit, thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.